Well, happy Mother's Day to each of you. We gather today to celebrate the incredible gift that God has given to each of us through our moms and the other incredible women who have nurtured us and shaped us in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. For our text this morning, we turn to St. Paul, who gives thanks to God for two particular women. Not so much for their mothering gifts of literally bringing life into the world, what a powerful gift that is, but more for the mothering gift of nurturing and building faith. We turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning, where St. Paul, who is now an elder statesman of the church, St. Paul, who has assumed the leadership in the life of the church of a bishop, laying hands on young ministers and deploying them to serve, he's giving thanks in the opening to 2 Timothy chapter 1 to God for St. Timothy and for two women of faith that have shaped him. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy 1. And let's look together beginning in verse 3. St. Paul wrote, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your prayers as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together." Now look especially at verse 5. "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." We gather today to celebrate Mother's Day, not in the way that we have adopted, particularly in the latter part of the 20th century, by lavishing gifts upon our mothers. Mother's Day has become a big business. Did you know this year we will spend collectively $21 billion today? That comes down to $170 for every child. I wonder how you doing on that scale. This year, more than 14% of us will give thanks to our mothers by buying them electronic gadgets. And even I, with my brothers and nieces and nephews, brought my mom into the iPhone generation yesterday. Now, I want to be real clear. I'm not programming my mother's iPhone. My really smart, high-up SunTrust Bank executive brother is not programming her iPhone, but her three preteen grandchildren are programming her iPhone. And last night, we almost had a family feud. Would it be Austin, Virginia, Kate, or William that would actually do the programming of the iPhone? Because they are all self-professed experts in anything electronic. I'm not thinking about Mother's Day in that way. I'm thinking about Mother's Day as it was first celebrated in 1907. May I tell you the story? A young woman who never married and never had children herself, named Anna Jarvis, had a great mom whose name was Anna Reeves Jarvis. So we have the Anna the senior and the Anna the younger. And she had witnessed her mother do incredible things in her community of Grafton, West Virginia, established in the middle part of the 19th century as a stopover for the B&O Railroad. It was a watering stop and grew up into a town, not unlike Conyers. Are you aware that Conyers was first established because it was a watering station for the railroad between Atlanta and Augusta? Hey, what a great theme for a town, offering water and refreshment and the ability to keep on keeping on. Anna Reeves Jarvis was a committed Christian and a Methodist laywoman who believed to have personal faith in Christ meant to be involved in people's lives where they hurt. And in this working class railroad town, there was much hurt in Grafton, West Virginia. Hurt particularly for mothers with children. There were issues of sanitation, issues of food safety. There were issues of access to education, issues of access to health care. Wait, things haven't changed a whole lot, have they? And Anna Reeves Jarvis, as a committed Methodist laywoman, was determined to make a difference where people hurt. So she gathered her influence. She gathered the influence of the Andrews Methodist Church to begin ministry among women who were really struggling. Along came the war between the states, the terrible conflict we know as the Civil War. West Virginia was a border state, and although it was officially a part of the Union, many families were divided in their loyalties. In fact, some families had sons fighting for the North, and the same families have sons fighting for the South. After the war between the states, Anna Reeves Jarvis saw the incredible heartbreak among mothers who had lost their sons in this terrible conflict. She added to her passion for ministry, ministering to moms who had lost their sons, and working to bring reconciliation in that town between Northern and Southern influences, trying to build consensus for the nation as it rebuilt itself. Anna Reeves Jarvis, committed Methodist laywoman, died in 1905. Her daughter, the younger Anna, was so incredibly touched by her mother's influence in helping people where they hurt and shaping a better future for them, she wanted to honor her mother. So one Sunday in May 1907, she had been dead less than 2 years, Anna Jarvis, the younger, passed out 500 white carnations at the Andrews Methodist Church to remember her mom. Something was inspired in Anna to begin a movement to honor all mothers. Not so much for the physical act of giving birth, though that's pretty miraculous, but to recognize the incredible role mothers have, women in general have, in nurturing and shaping, in building into children hope and faith. For most of us, our mothers were our primary educators. Our mothers were our primary influencers. So on the second Sunday of May, 1908, the first Mother's Day service in the United States was held at the Andrews Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. A movement began. Anna had some insight into marketing and partnered with John Wanamaker of Philadelphia, who owned the massive Wanamaker department store, in beginning to promote the idea of Mother's Day. Now you see the commercial connection, don't you? Even though President Woodrow Wilson was against woman suffrage, even though he did not want women to have their rightful place in the voice and vote arena, the Congress was persuaded that mothers need their day to celebrate their influence. And I wonder if somehow establishing Mother's Day did not lead to the victory of the women's suffrage movement, where women were finally granted the vote in United States politics. Mother's Day has been celebrated ever since. This morning I want to look at Mother's Day not from the anatomical perspective of giving birth literally, but from the mothering perspective of building into people's lives a new birth of opportunity, the birth of a dream, the birth of faith. For some gathered here, Mother's Day is a happy day because God gave you a great mom. I hope you'll call her today. I hope she's with you today. If she's outrun you to the Father's house, then ask the Lord Jesus to be your Mother's Day messenger for her. But the truth is, there are a number who will gather in this great church today who have a different story to tell. Your mother did not nurture you. Your mother was not available for you. Your mother told you you were a mistake. Maybe your mother, because of some physical illness, died before you knew her. Maybe because of some kind of emotional or mental illness, simply could not be the mom you desperately needed for her to be. And I grieve with you if that's the case. But nonetheless, God used your mother to give you His gift of life. But I believe Mother's Day is broadened to celebrate all the women of influence, like Anna Reeves Jarvis, who influenced so many others in her day. And so in these moments, I want you to begin to call to mind the women of your life who nurtured you. That's what Paul's talking about today in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. He's not saying, I remember that you kept your mother in labor for 18 hours. 18 hours of unmitigated pain it took to bring you into the world. No. St. Paul remembers Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice as women of influence. And Timothy is on his way to being a great leader of the church, the fledgling New Testament church, because of the influence, the impact of Lois and Eunice in his life. Who are the women to whom you give thanks to God for your life? I give thanks to God this morning for my grandmother. We called her Nanny. And she left us far too soon with that dreaded disease we now call Alzheimer's. You know, she was physically present, but the spirit, the passion that was my nanny went away. I give thanks for my mom, who, unless the traffic from construction on I-20 delays them, like it did me last night, will be here at the 11 o'clock service today. I give thanks to my mom, whom we now call Nanny. I don't remember my mom's first name. She's just simply Nanny to all of us. But I remember a double handful of women in my life whom God has used to birth a dream, to birth hope, to birth possibilities for me. I think of my fourth grade teacher, Miss Becky Callbriar, at Vanderlyn Elementary School in Dunwoody. How I loved Miss Callbriar. She grew to be married and is now an incredible leader in the women's ministry at the Dunwoody United Methodist Church. I think of my high school counselor, Jody Olga, who helped me through some challenging emotional development in my own life, always prepared to listen, to nurture, and to give me perspective. I think of my high school Latin teacher, Carol McChesney, sort of a warmed over leftover from the hippie era. She sort of looked it and acted it, but she gave me a love for the classics and how Miss McChesney mothered on me and nurtured me. I think of my college music professor, Dr. Joyce Jones, who as recently as 2 weeks ago called to mother on me and to continue to encourage me and to check on me and let me know she's praying for me. I think of my first little church down in the countryside of Fayette County when the bishop unleashed me on them. Lord, have mercy on their souls. And I think of incredible women who mothered me, like Jane Mask and Patsy Culler and Lurleen Putman, who never had children of her own, but began her teaching room in a one-room schoolhouse in Little Brooks, Georgia, and birthed hundreds of children through her ministry of education. I think of church members across the years who have mothered me and influenced me. I think of Sue Goddard and Joyce Paris and so many others. But this morning I'm thinking of one particular woman whom God used to nurture me and love me in ways that have not yet fully been revealed. I only knew her for a short period of time. Her name, Mamie. We knew her as Aunt Mamie. She was technically my great aunt, my mother's aunt, who lived in the little town of Central Texas town of Waco, Texas, where she and her husband were Baptist missionaries to the native peoples we used to call Indians, Native Americans who lived in Texas and in Oklahoma. They wanted to give witness to Jesus Christ. Their only son, Buddy, was killed in the Second World War. I loved my Aunt Mamie, and I remember how she was concerned about my brothers and me. In the long ago time, I mean, you got to be really old to remember the day of charge of plates. Do you remember what a charge of plate was? Kind of looked like a dog tag that military guys wear, issued by merchants with the name and the account number literally beat into the little piece of metal. And it was issued by, at the time, the greatest retailer in America, Sears. A couple of times every year, my Aunt Mamie, especially after we moved to Atlanta, would mail her Sears charge plate to my mom because she was always worried about having us pajamas. And Aunt Mamie wanted us to, remember the pajamas with the little feeties built into it? She wanted us to have our pajamas. Sometime, I think, about the time I was 23 and I was not wearing feety pajamas then. About the time I was 23 and being appointed to my first church and is going to move into the parsonage of that little Methodist church in South Fayette County, my mom and I were going through some old family treasures, as we call them, and I ran across a letter from my Aunt Mamie. Now, based on the content of the letter, it appears that it was written about February or March 1972. Now, February or March 1972, I'm not quite 7 years old yet. I don't remember this letter. In fact, I don't remember a whole lot about Aunt Mamie except the way she smelled and what her house on Parrot Street in Waco, Texas looked like. And living with her brother, Uncle Harry, after both of their spouses had passed away. And their old dog, whose name was Dog, who lived with them. I don't remember a whole lot more about Aunt Mamie, but when I found this letter and opened it, I think I'm 23, maybe 24 years old at the time, it stopped me in my tracks. It simply says, "Dear John, how sweet of you to send me a Valentine. I have it on the table where I can see it. I hear you are singing in the choir. How fine. Stick with it. Jesus loves children. Someday, you might be a fine preacher." What a good mother and daddy to start your life in that happy way. I love you. Aunt Mamie, send me your size. I celebrate today that I am the product of an awful lot of people, many of whom are women, who have mothered me into the person that I am, have invested in me, believed in me, laid their lives down for me, given for me to become the person that I am. I could not believe as a seminarian that my aunt so many, many, many years later believed that God had a gift for me that I didn't know and I didn't see, but that she prayed about. I wonder, who was it for you? Or what collection of whose was it for you? Who across your years have blessed you and believed in you and invested in you? The first Mother's Day, 1908, was celebrated to remember the life of a woman of influence, spiritual influence, social justice influence, who poured her life out for the sake of others. And so this many years later, I believe on this Mother's Day, 2013, that we are in good order to give thanks to God who have nurtured us and believed in us and mothered us. I invite you in the quietness of this moment just to close your eyes and begin to remember, call to your heart and mind those women of your life who have mothered you into the person that you are. As each name comes to your mind, to your heart, I hope you'll take just a second to say, thank you, God. Father, many of us give thanks for our moms, but all of us give thanks for the women of influence in our lives. And so we share today in the great Methodist tradition of Mother's Day. And we all feel a little bit like Saint Timothy, whose mother and grandmother influenced them for Christ. May we live our lives in gratitude by influencing others for the glory of God. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we complete our service this morning, I invite your attention again to the white connection card on the backside. I encourage you to underline in your Bibles 2 Timothy 1:5, acknowledging that others have influenced you to become the person of faith that you are, and to challenge you to influence others in the name and spirit of Jesus. The bottom of the card is an opportunity to share your heart with me. Maybe honestly, frankly, today's a hard day for you because you've got unresolved feelings about your mom. I'd be honored to pray with you about that this week. Maybe you had a great mom and you're just missing her today. Man, you're missing her today. I wonder if you just might want to write her name on the card and I could join you in giving thanks for the influence of your mom. Whatever's on your heart today, I'd be honored to pray with you. And I invite you now in the quietness of this moment to complete your connection card. Fold it over and then leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. Now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I claim this now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, and happy Mother's Day.